Autobots, and away we go. Hope you're well on a Libations Friday, if you were. This, as always, brought to you by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Reach out directly to Bill Curry Ford GM Sean Sullivan. He'll help you personally. That's a personal touch. When they help you personally, that's a personal touch. It's good stuff. You can find his email address right there at the BillCurryFord.com website. Or you could just swing on in 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway in Tampa. Huge Bucks fans, Bucks players and coaches go there, including Ali Marpet. He's really good. Vita Vea, he's really good. Those are just a couple of examples. Bill Curry Ford has a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And remember, Sean Sullivan, the GM, will assist you personally. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount. BillCurryFord.com. How pumped are you about this game, Tom? You feel good about it?
I've felt better and better as the week goes along. Mm-hmm. I like to see that in the injury report. It seems like we've got a handle on things. Jordan Whitehead with the calf might be held out again. We'll see. I did not check the Friday report. Usually we got to get lucky. Sometimes it comes out just before the Scuttlebucks on a Friday.
Yeah.
Most times it comes out around 1:30, 2 o'clock, and that's when it's too late. But otherwise, to see Ali Marpet continuing to practice in a limited fashion, I wonder if that's just going to be with his core injury. The oblique, I believe, was where it originally was reported. I wonder if that's just going to be something he's got to manage for the rest of the season. But otherwise, the secondary, they're starting to finally play together. That's nice. We're going to continue to stop the run because Vita Vea is healthy enough to play football. So I think all things are pointing to a good matchup for us, but this has got to be a desperate Buffalo team. They are looking to get off the schneid. The only win they have in the last month is a win over the Saints, who aren't any good at all, and they beat them on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, that is, a couple of weeks ago. And after the Monday night loss to New England at home, when now basically you're playing for a wild card as your Buffalo and you don't want to get bounced out of that, that's going to be a hungry group on a short week. Let's take care of business. I fully expect the Bucs offense to put up north of 28-31 points as they do at home, but we shall see.
Yeah, the one thing I would say about the Bucs putting up all those points, this is a good defense. It was a better defense earlier in the year, but it's still a good defense. I saw some numbers come out this week that they were 1, 2, or 3 in several meaningful categories, including the run and the pass. So they've had a good run. Actually, here's what it is. I saw this. It was tweeted. I think it was Greg Allman. Give credit where credit's due. The Bills rank 2nd in scoring defense and 1st in total and passing defense, 3rd in interception percentage, 3rd in the league on 3rd downs. They're 4th in red zone defense. They have 2 shutouts this season, and they've held 2 opponents to under 10 points. So, okay. I mean, they've played good football defensively. They've struggled offensively as of late, in particular because they can't run the football. Now, this is a game, Tom, where, frankly, not being able to run the football would be the case even if they could run the football, meaning that every team that's come in, no matter if they could run the football or
correct,
not, have not been able to run the football. So their great weakness of not being able to run it, I mean, they're used to life like that, so they won't be shocked that they have to come in and throw it all around the lot. The good news is they got one really good receiver. I feel like the Bucks, this is a good matchup.
Yeah, no, again, because we're healthy in the secondary, I feel better about things. You know, are we a finished product? And if we're missing Jordan, is that, you know, a detriment? Of course it is, especially with Mike Edwards being suspended for 3 games. So you're a little bit depleted there. But I think they got to come find us and come reach that number.
Like, by the way, what a dumbass. Sorry.
Seriously. Yeah, that was me last Friday on the Scuttlebucks.
I mean, what are we doing?
I know. Okay. And, you know, and he's really important, and that's what pisses me off. Is
well, yeah,
he's
emerged
well
as a nice player. He's just obviously
he's a Swiss Army knife in this defense.
Unreal levels of stupidity. Okay.
But the thing about the Bills defensively, they've got a couple of injuries this week to the interior of the defensive line. We'll see if those guys go. It's Star Latulele and old Ed Oliver, too. Those are 2 real big studs in their times in college. Don't hear too much about him anymore, I guess because we're not in the AFC East for our concentration.
Also, Ed Oliver has been basically a bust.
Well, both of them have been limited this week in practice, and the Bills have suffered injuries into their secondary.
Tragic.
This year. So, you know, if you're saying, well, Antonio Brown's still not back, maybe this offense doesn't fire on all cylinders, it's not like Buffalo has everybody that they want to play in the secondary either. I just feel really good about this spot. You know, the way that they responded last week, they played, they finished on offense. I'm looking at a group that probably circled this game weeks ago because they know it's the Saints, Carolina, Jets, Carolina after this. I think that's the combination of the games to finish. You air it out on Sunday.
Yeah.
You go after it on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely you get after it. And I like us a lot. I'm with you on this. I have a, you know, quiet confidence about this game in the sense, I guess it's not quiet anymore, but I in the sense that I think the Bills are beleaguered. I really do. I think they're in trouble. You're right. They're going to be a desperate team, and maybe they show up in a way that really we haven't seen play out the last several weeks. But weren't you desperate at home against the Patriots with the division on the line? Weren't you desperate to show the world that you were still the team that was going to knock off the bully, and they couldn't? In a game in which the Patriots complete three passes?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I think what's frustrating about that from a Bills fan's perspective would be that they got into the red zone multiple times towards the end and came away with zero. And and if you kick the field goal twice, you make two field goals, you win that game. And the weather favored the Patriots. You know, if Buffalo was the team from last year, that Josh Allen was the extra piece, the cherry on top. Now, he could go make plays and win games with his legs and some throws.
He needs to.
But they were able to run the football last year. If the weather was like that for last year's Buffalo-New England game, it's Buffalo all day. But this particular year, that's New England's bread and butter. That's a bad matchup and horrible luck with the conditions. It's going to be much better off on Sunday. You should see some aerial attacks going back and forth, I would think.
Yeah, and I like the Bucs' aerial attack more. We have the more accurate passer, the better player at quarterback in terms of, understanding the game. Josh Allen is still a guy that has some limitations. Now, arm strength isn't one of them. Obviously, he's got arguably the best arm in football, but he's not nearly as accurate, and he hasn't had a great season. Now, that's partly to do with the fact that they are almost the second they get off the bus, one-dimensional. And that is problematic because, obviously, in the National Football League, if you come in as a one-trick pony, that can be taken away. Most teams can take that away.
Yeah, and all in all, I thought he played well on Monday, you know, because it's not a game for a quarterback to succeed.
Right.
Given that you have gale force winds, and he made a few throws that are exceptional, and Stephon Diggs dropped one, and they made a great play on the final play, did New England, and that was one of the few times you'll ever see Bill Belichick fired up on a sidelines like a John
Gruden regular season game. That was great.
Yeah, because they clearly practiced something, they saw a look, and they executed it when they had to have it on the last play of the football game, the fourth down play. But yeah, again, you know, this is, as a Buck, you're entering December football. You saw different facets of the offense succeed last week in Atlanta, which is good. Everybody seems to be on the same page, a little bit more intensity. Bruce challenged the team last week after a bad week of practice. He said that before the game and after the game, that practice sucked leading up to Atlanta. I would imagine, well, but that's important with a veteran group who might have an entitlement issue. I think that actually matters more this year than it does in past years. But we'll see. I mean, to me, the two things this week. Number one, I felt confident about the Bucs, and then on a side note about the Bucs, give double love over to Greg over at The Athletic. There's a really good article for pregame and or weekend reading, folks. If you have not already and you don't subscribe to The Athletic, at least try the free trial. This article is actually worth it. It's going back and basically getting an oral history of the Vita Vea Josh Allen trade from a few years ago in the draft. This is when Quentin Nelson went number 6 overall to the Colts.
Who I desperately wanted, but okay.
Other players involved in that draft, meaning teams that are going to be in this story, and you're going to hear how it comes to be on a draft day that the Bucs make that trade with the Bills and the different landing spots the Bills were looking for in order to get Josh Allen. Really, really interesting read, probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes of your time, but I would highly recommend it because as you're reflecting on how we got here, that's actually one massive trade that we kind of talked about in the beginning, but then when Vita became dominant, we just don't even mention it anymore about how big of a piece he is to the puzzle. That was a hit all the way. Even though Vita's had injury issues, what he does when he comes back and plays consistently in the trenches, gives you 60-70% of the snaps, he changes everything about what we are.
Without question, and I'll give you a number on that one, by the way, in terms of who we are and what we can become and how excited we should all be about Tryon. He has 3 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, 16 hurries, according to Pro Football Focus, Tom. 24 total pressures, okay? He's played in far fewer games and has worlds fewer snaps than does Pierre Paul, and he has been far more productive. It's getting to a place where you can start him over JPP.
Yeah, Tryon?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's what's interesting. This week I read it was the ESPN Power Rankings. You know how I'm just such a fan of the Power Rankings. But in Jenna Lane's blurb about the Bucks, she mentioned, I didn't realize this. I knew it was a shoulder because that's
torn rotator cuff.
It's a torn rotator cuff.
Oh, he's had it all year long.
I didn't realize it was a torn rotator cuff. I thought it was a nagging shoulder issue.
No, I'm glad you brought it up. So I want to clarify something. When you guys hear me on the Scuttlebucks every week ripping JPP, it's not about a personal attack on a guy that I think is dogging it. It's a guy that's clearly hurt. So when I say he's not productive and he's not providing us anything, I mean that. He's not productive, and he's not providing us much of anything because he's hurt. This isn't a shot. I'm not saying he's done. I'm not saying he can't play. I am saying there's a guy you have coming off the bench who's played in 161 fewer snaps and has produced more, both against the run and pass, than JPP. So I don't get it. Like, why do we keep doing it? And it's troublesome. So yeah. It's not a personal attack on JPP. I just want to clarify that.
No, that's fair. And the question is, what can you expect out of him reasonably between now and the end of the year, end of the playoffs, whenever that is for the Bucks? Because, you know, he kind of mattered last year. And Tryon is an all-or-nothing player. JPP, one of the best parts of his game that's not talked about is how he can sniff out games against him. You know, in the screen game, quick throws underneath. He's also adept. He's got the veteran patience that if a play isn't working or his first move doesn't work, he'll drop back, get his hands up. Tryon is just, I mean, his ears are pinned back at all times. He's very much a rookie, a bull in a china shop. So that's going to be tough if JPP is not an option at all between now and the end of the playoff.
Yeah, he's an option. If you get to where a kid is being taken advantage of, you can pull him. But to me, this is a guy that, look at these numbers. I gave you the Pro Football Focus numbers. Pierre Paul has 2 sacks, 2 QB hits, 2, by the way. 16 hurries total. 294 snaps for Tryon this year. 90 on rundowns, 204 in the pass game. Pierre Paul, 467 snaps. 138 against the run, 329 against the pass. And Tryon has far more hurries, sacks, pressures, you name it. I don't know. I just think on obvious passing downs too often, I'm like, what's going on here? What are we doing here?
Well,
what are we doing?
That's where it's also booing that Vita's been able to play with relative consistency the last couple of weeks, and he'll be back and only increasing his rep count, because what he does is he'll make Tryon better. He makes Ndamukong Suh better. And Ndamukong, to his credit, played well even when Vita was hurt.
That is correct.
And he looks like he's turned it up to a different gear. Nacho is a good player for us in the middle. So there are solutions. It doesn't rely completely on JPP. I think a couple of years ago, the earlier stint of his career with the Bucks, you were just looking to him and saying, make something happen.
Yeah, do something.
Now it's, can you be that final piece to the puzzle? Because Shaq Barrett's been okay, too.
Been good.
It's not like we're completely punchless there, but you want that final piece because that's what it takes. That's the group, that front four that won us the game in Lambeau when the offense completely sputtered in the second half.
Yeah.
That's the group that closes for you. It's the front four that did the job against Patrick Mahomes. So you know that if you get to the base of the table before it's set for you as a champion, the way to get there and be sitting down, eating a meal, I sound like Mark Schlereth or some BS like that, the cliche machine.
Yeah.
But the way to get there is through front four pressure. Yeah. And I don't know that we are as good as we were last year in that department.
We aren't. The numbers say we aren't. You are absolutely correct. Bucks have won 3 consecutive games after the 2-game losing streak that we said they would come back from. And they did, as we knew they would. Right now, as we do this podcast, as we enter into this week at 9-3, the Bucks are the 3 seed. It's a 1-game deficit in the conference record tiebreaker that has us, Tom, at the 3 seed. So I don't know if you knew that, because it's easy to look at a 4-game lead in the NFC South and think, oh, well, we're just coasting. But there is a lot of fight left for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I would like to think that there's a chance here that the Bucks, who have 1 game remaining against a team with a winning record, and that is this weekend against the Bills, have a chance to not only lock up the division here in the coming weeks, but actually have a real good chance to go undefeated from here on out if they get the win against the 7-5 Bills this weekend at home. If they win that game, I think the Bucks win out. And if I told you, and again, we'll see if they care to play anybody the final week of the season. There's a lot of stuff at play here. But if they do, and if they have to have it, if they're still fighting for seeding, the Bucks could finish the first ever 17-game regular season with a 14-3 record. If I told you that before the season began, we would dance with bells on.
Yeah, and if that's not good enough to get the number one overall seed, then whatever.
So be it.
Yeah, so be it. I think what that would do, 14-3, would get you at least the two, which means that you don't have to go on the road until the NFC Championship game, which would be advisable. You just want as many home games as possible. There's a really important game on Monday Night Football next week. That's Arizona and the Rams. That's a Rams team that if they're
Let's go Rams!
If they want to win the division, they better win on Monday Night Football. It's 2 weeks in a row that Monday Night Football actually produces a good matchup, so we'll be watching that closely. Green Bay plays the Bears, so you're going to need a miracle there in order for Green Bay to slip up. But just get through this one, win the 425 game this weekend, and put yourself in a position.
To your point, we do start conference watching, division watching, record watching. The team that is ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of them, is the Arizona Cardinals, as you allude to. But Arizona, in addition to the Rams game, Tom, also has games against the Colts and the Cowboys.
Yeah, Dallas is either week 17 or week 18, right?
You get a suspicion that that's going to mean something to both teams, that that game's going to be massive.
Yeah, and so is the Colts game.
Yeah,
The Colts aren't bad.
Oh, they're really good.
I mean, consider that they took us down to the end.
Well, they kind of gifted the game.
Yes, a couple of key situational elements that went our way, and that was the break that we needed. But they're still that team that went into Buffalo and destroyed the Bills, and they played us really tough. I think that's a group that's not going away.
Oh, I like the Colts. I think the Colts are a problem for anybody in the AFC. If they get there, you don't want to face that team. They're a problem. Because
that run game travels.
Well, they're men, and they're going to line up against anybody but not name the Bucs and run the ball. I like the team a lot. I think they're very, very good, and they're a problem. But so let's hope they're a problem for the Arizona Cardinals.
It's going to be so crazy. I feel like we do this once a week, but Derrick Henry is slated to be back between week 17 and week 18. So he could be back just after New Year's. And the Titans aren't not going to make the playoffs.
No,
the record's
too
good at this point.
They're the two seed currently.
Correct. But it's a matter of do the Colts run him down or not for the division. And that's going to be tight. But if you get Henry back for the last 2 weeks, then Tennessee becomes a player all over again on a different level in the AFC. Kansas City looks to be getting things in order. It's getting its house in order. The NFC West is a mess. Who knows if it's going to be produced there and generated there. If the Patriots take the number one seed and you got to go through Foxborough in order to get to the Super Bowl, that makes them all the tougher because the elements are a part of the equation. Just a complete mess on that side. Whereas in the NFC, you feel pretty good about three or four teams, and then a wild card team would have to get pretty lucky in order to advance beyond that.
No, I love it. I mean, this is a fun time of year. It's even more fun these last 2 years where we're talking about the Bucks being one of the two or three best teams in football.
We're in the middle of
it. Yeah, it's so fun to
Joe
be
Bucks
like
fan. Yeah. Check the Twitter account. It was a day or two ago that they retweeted a meme from like February, and it's this kid, and this kid is at a staircase, and he's at the base of the flight, and one foot's on the base, and the next foot's on step four, and they put a Buck logo on him, and it says, you know, you're terrible, you kind of suck, you're average, you go to the playoffs, you win the Super Bowl. And it's like, this is the Bucks in 2019 and 2020. We skipped all of these steps. We went from one to the other.
Screw it.
And this year is another one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing.
Well, it was the dream. It was what everybody hoped for when they took the chance and ran out there and got after Tom Brady to try to convince him to come here. This was the possibility, right? We knew the roster was great. We were like, they've done a good job of roster building. You saw it, and you just wondered, do they have the courage and do they have the convincing power to ante up like men and make a run at it?
Can I close with one, not conspiracy theory, but just theory to watch? So Perryman got a lot of snaps last week. Let's take a look at receiver snaps again.
Yes.
Well, Bruce said there's going to be some discipline for Antonio after the suspension.
Oh, geez. So he's gone for the year until we go to the playoffs?
I don't know. All I'm saying is I think they're grooming Perryman in case they don't get the response they want. So
those two are not the same.
That's correct.
That is the problem. He was useless despite the abundance of snaps
55 or whatever
that he
was,
had in last week's game. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Go Bucks. JoeBucksFan.com, the website. And we appreciate you listening as always. We'll be back with you on Monday.